All right, if you take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans 15. Romans chapter 15. Our text will be found in verses 5 and 6 this evening. Romans chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. The title of my message this evening is The God of Patience. The God of Patience. I was experiencing some trouble this week. And I had become very frustrated in my endeavors. And I came to my office all frustrated, and I'm sure my blood pressure was up quite a bit. I opened the Scriptures to our text that we would be studying tonight. And the first thing I read was verse 5, "Now the God of patience." And I was slapped in the face with that verse of Scripture. The God of patience. The God of patience. Paul here, after telling us who are strong believers, who are strong in the faith, who are strong in liberty in Christ, those of us who see all things are of God, and we must with patience bear under the weight of the infirmities of our weaker brethren, he tells us that we who are strong are to bear the infirmities, not pleasing ourselves, not satisfying our own minds or straightening them out or flexing our spiritual liberty in front of them, but rather to give place to their weakness in superficial, non-essential matters such as meats and drinks. How then can this be done? Verse 4 tells us how, in that he says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." How can we bear under these things? How is it that, what is the tool that God uses? What is the channel that God uses to give us the strength to bear under the infirmities of the weak? The Scriptures. The Scriptures are the channel by which God uses so that we might see Christ, our Lord, and what He bore for us on the cross. How He bore our sins, how He carried our griefs, how He bore our judgment. When Jesus Christ was talking to the Pharisees, He says, "Search the Scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of who? Me." The Scriptures all testify of Christ. They all testify of Him. The Scriptures were written for our learning to see Christ. And by seeing Him, we through them might have patience and comfort to bear the infirmities of the weak, of our weak brethren. But Paul here in verse 5, after telling him that the Scriptures are the channel by which God uses so that we might have patience and comfort of the Scriptures, he then takes his eye, after giving them the exhortation, after laying the exhortation out to them, he then turns his eyes upward and he begins to pray. He begins to pray. And that's my first point tonight concerning our text. This is a prayer. Paul usually does this. He'll start with something and all of a sudden he's so lifted up that he's got to go before the throne of grace. And that's exactly what he does for these believers concerning this exhortation. He goes before God in prayer. Read that in verse 5. Read in our text. He says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus." According to Christ Jesus. He lifts up them in prayer concerning this exhortation. He prays to God for them in pleading, in all preaching of the gospel. All preaching of the gospel. All preaching of the duties and salvation and everything that's contained in the Word of God. All of this must be watered with prayer. Everything must be watered with prayer. Every time we go to the Scriptures, it must be watered with prayer. When I preach to you, I follow it by prayer. I must. I must lift it up to God. I must lift this exhortations and things that I give you concerning the gospel. How else can you understand it? How else can it penetrate through our hearts unless we lift it up to God? And God by His grace do it. All preaching must be watered with prayer. And so must all study. If you are studying the Scriptures on how it is that you might bear the infirmities of the weaker brethren, my friend, if you do not water it with prayer, it will not grow. You will not understand it unless God, by His grace, gives it. Pray. Prayer. As we know by experience, we know by the Word of God and by experience, that through perseverance of the Scriptures and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope in Christ. So then, though we may learn and to bear the infirmities of our weaker brethren, but it must be watered by prayer in order for it to grow. Therefore, He offers up this prayer to whom? Who is this prayer offered up to? It's offered up to God. It's offered up to God. All things must come from God. All things. Nothing we have, nothing we have ever learned, nothing we have ever put into practice has ever come by us. It has always come by the hand of our God. Always. We may study long in the Scriptures. We may gain certain knowledge about the Bible. We may glean the truths of Scripture in our head, but it is of no value unless God puts it into our hearts. All prayer is directed to God because He alone can open the eyes of our understanding. How many times have we been frustrated with someone and to bear underneath their burdens? And yet one day we are lifted up, we see the Scriptures, we see Christ, we see what He has done for us, and then all of a sudden we understand and we come underneath that brethren. We come alongside. How is that possible? What happened? What changed you from yesterday to today? God did. God did. We cannot know anything about God or ourselves unless God reveals it to us. Jesus said this, in Matthew 11, no man knoweth the Father save the Son. And no man know the Son save the Father. No man know the Father save the Son. And to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. We cannot know God unless He is revealed to us. We cannot know the Father but Christ giving us revelation of Him. So it is with all things concerning our salvation, Christian duty, and love for Christ and each other. Now, for the strong believer to humble himself and bear patiently the weaker brethren, it must not nor will not come from his strength. If you bear long with your brethren, it's not because you're strong. It's not because of your strength. It's not because of your diligence in study, nor of your great understanding, but it must come by the grace of God. So all things must come from God. Therefore, pray to God. Humble ourselves before the Almighty. If we have an exhortation in Scripture, how can this be accomplished but by humbling ourselves before God? And God, by His grace in His time, granting us this petition. It can't. We can't do anything without God. And notice the title that He gives the God of His prayer. The God of patience. And that's what I want to spend the rest of the evening on tonight. The God of patience. The God of patience. Peter says this in 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace. The God of all grace. God is the God of all grace. He owns all grace. He owns it all. It is in the palm of His hand to give out His grace when and to whom He pleases. Isn't that wonderful? It is if you know God. If you know God, it is Because He is a gracious God. He is the God of all grace. The God of all grace. Nebuchadnezzar, I had this thought come to me as I was studying. Nebuchadnezzar, when the Lord struck him down and put him in a field to eat grass like a dumb beast. Who was it that restored him to his kingdom? It was God. When did God restore him to his kingdom? Whenever he pleased. Whenever he pleased. You know, he could have left that man, a dumb beast, to die in the field. Yet, he chose rather to reveal himself to that man. Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, this God of Daniel, I know that God. He does whatsoever he pleases among the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And we're all like grasshoppers. We're like nothing before him. We are as nothing. He is everything. He did it of his own pleasure and for his own glory. It was accomplished in his own time. And so it is with us. So it is with us and his grace upon us. Many times we as believers walk around like dumb beasts, don't we? We walk around like dumb beasts. Beating ourselves on the chest, patting ourselves on the back. Look how strong I am in the faith. Look how much I know. I want you to know how much I know. Walk around like brute beasts. Boasting of our liberty or struggling under the burdens we place upon ourselves. But in reality, we may be hurting our other brothers for whom Christ died. We must be very cautious at how we, who claim to be strong, flaunt our liberty. So that we might not hurt another believer. We might not hurt them. Study the Scriptures, yes. Look for Christ and how it was He was wounded for our sin and weakness. But if we do not water this with prayer and we do not ask God for the grace to make it effectual to our hearts, it will not come. It must come from the hand of God, the God of patience. Paul here calls Him the God of patience. Is that not a grace? Is patience not a grace? Or do you have it naturally? Anybody have it naturally? Does it come by you naturally to be patient? It doesn't come by me naturally at all. That's what hit me so hard when I looked at the Scripture. It doesn't come naturally at all. It's a grace. It must be given. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's patience. It's patience is a gift. It's a gift of the God of patience. If there's anyone who has suffered long and been patient, it's God. If anybody has suffered long, it's God. Isn't that right? Is there anybody who has more patience than God? The patience of God. From the time of the fall of Adam till now, God has been long-suffering and patient. Has He not? He has been long-suffering and patient. And I want us to see this in two ways. He's been patient with lost, hell-deserving sinners. He's been patient with the vessels of wrath. And He's been patient with us. He's been patient with His elect. First of all, He's been patient with the vessels fitted for destruction. Romans 9:22 says, what if God, willing to show His wrath, to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? Think of the patience of God to endure the blasphemy of mankind from Adam till now. Think of God's patience with them to give them the very breath they blaspheme with. to give them the very pleasures of life that they have, the graces that they've been given in this life. They've been given providential goodness all the while God extending His gospel every day to a gainsaying people. To a people who love darkness rather than light. He could have sent them to hell from the beginning, couldn't He? God had the right to, when our father Adam sinned, He had the right to not say a word to Adam, but cast him and Eve into hell forever. He had that right. But you see, we have a God who is the God of patience. Praise God for the God of patience. He's patient with them until the cup of their iniquity is full. And He will be patient till then. Let me ask you a question. How patient would you have been with mankind? Put yourself in that situation. I wouldn't have put up with me for a second. I wouldn't have put up with me for a second. Thank God I'm not God. Thank God we worship a God of patience. Of patience. He was not only patient with the evil men that were fitted for vessels of wrath, fitted for destruction, but He was patient with us too. He was patient with us too. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Flip over there real fast. Hold your place here. And go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Second Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to who? To usward. Now that word right there, that those words right there are the key to the rest of this passage. If you miss those words, you're going to miss out on what the whole rest of the passage means. To usward, not willing that any of us. That's right. He's go back to the beginning there where He said to us, where He's talking about us. Not willing that any of us should perish, but that all of us should come to repentance. To usward. You see, God is the God of patience to usward. To His elect people. To you, believer. God is patient with you. God has been patient with us. You see, He was patient with us when we were walking around like the other vessels of wrath. You couldn't tell us from them. We were walking about fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind and were by nature the children of wrath even as others. And yet God patiently guided you through your life. He patiently surrounded you and protected you. So that you did not die and fall off into hell. He watched you patiently as you kicked and screamed and spit in His face. All the while patiently bearing with us. Patiently bearing with us until the time that He would bring us to Christ. Patiently. Patiently bearing with us. And He is even bearing with us right now. Patiently bearing with us. How much of our worship is worthy to be accepted in and of itself? When you're worshiping tonight, you're hearing the Word of God, you praise God, you worship God for who He is, you bless His name because of the blood and righteousness of Christ. You see, all of that is good, but in and of itself, it would be worthless without God. Blessing it without God's patience. Without the patience of Christ enduring the suffering that we deserved. How could our praise be accepted without Him being patient? Enduring the wrath of God He's been patient with us till we came to Christ. He guided us and protected us and brought us under the sound of the gospel, quickened our hearts, gave us faith in Christ, not willing that we should perish. Isn't that wonderful? That God is not willing you should perish. He's not willing for it to happen. Is it going to happen? Is there any possibility you should perish? No, because He's the God of patience. He is patiently bearing with us. Praise God for His patience. Praise God, He is the God of all patience, bearing with me, even in my sin. For Christ said, Scripture says, when we were yet sinners, Christ died. And in patience He waited for the time of love. And when that time came, He said unto us, live. And we lived. And therefore, because of His great grace in being patient with us and showing us Christ, He will always be patient with us. This is something you can take with you everywhere you go. God is a God of patience and He will always, always bear with us. Always bear with us. Many times we sin and feel that we've been grieved in our conscience and we feel that we have surely been abandoned this time. Surely God will not stay around now after what I've done. I know I would have abandoned me long ago. But take comfort. The God of patience is still not willing that you should perish, but that you should repent and turn to Christ. See then that the patience of God to usward is a great gift of His grace and mercy. And He will always be patient with us. Well, then how is the patience of God given? How then is the patience of the God given? He Himself is patient and He alone can give us patience. Paul says in our text, the God of patience and consolation grant you. For you and I to be patient, God must give us this patience. How does He give it? Well, I know you know the answer, but I know you don't like it. Romans 5:3. Tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. God gives patience through troubles so that He might manifest to us the vessels of mercy, His grace, His patience, His kindness to usward who believe. In order that through patience, which means quiet forbearance, that's very important. I said before, many times I've went through a trial and I've said with myself, ooh, I'm murmuring and murmuring, complaining, oh, I can't stand this. And I get to the end and said, ooh, look what patience I've had. That's not patience. Patience is quiet forbearance. Is to take the cross that God has given us and silently bear it without murmuring or complaining. Psalms 40, verse 1, I read this on Sunday. I have waited patiently on the Lord. In trouble, in pain, in prayer, in worship, in study, what is our experience concerning waiting on the Lord? You that have quietly bore underneath the weight of the cross that God has given you to bear, what is our experience every time? The same as David. He inclined His ear unto me and heard me. I have that experience every single time in every single trouble in my life. God has always inclined His ear unto us. Always. He heard my cry. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on the rock and established my goings. Is this not our experience time and time again? Has He not always been long-suffering? Has He not always given us patience to bear our trials? Yes, He has. And hear me. Yes, He shall. Because He is the God of patience. This is who He is. And my friend, this is what He gives. This is what He gives. May the God of all patience, Paul says in his prayer, grant you, and this is the result of Paul's prayer, grant you in our text to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ. He's saying the same thing he said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, took upon himself the form of a slave, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let that mind be in us. May God grant us, the God of patience, grant us that kind of patience. To bear under injustice. It's one thing to endure things that we justly deserve. It's altogether different to bear things that we do not deserve. Jesus Christ bore everything He did not deserve. Let that mind be in us. Let that mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. May grant us these things to be a servant to Him, to God, and to each other. That's Psalm 40 in verse 1. You know that that's Christ speaking. Really, He's the only one that ever really waited patiently on the Lord. Even in my greatest amount of patience, I was very impatient. But I long for the mind of Christ to be patient, to wait for God's answer in God's time. I long to be patient with my brethren in Christ. I must bear underneath their weight and their burden. And why do we do this? Why do we pray for such a thing? Why do we pray for such a thing? For our glory? Is that the reason? No. We pray for this not for our glory, or so that others may see our patience and say to us, wow, what a patient person that guy is. I know many times we, in our sin, do things and expect praise from men. But we should not let that shouldn't be our mind. Joanne, I'm sure would you like somebody to come and say, well, Joanne, hey, you've been a real patient person. She's laughing. Of course. We realize within ourselves that we're nothing. We can't be patient. And it's not for us. Our patience that we bear is not for our glory, but for the glory of God. That's the reason we do all we do. Is for the glory of God. This is the end of patience, that God would be glorified. Read that in verse 6. That you may be of one mind and one mouth. Glorify God. The reason for patience is to glorify God. The author of patience is God Himself. Seek God to give us patience. I pray that God would bless this to our hearts so that we may bear the infirmities of our brethren, so we may love each other more and love Christ more. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer.